And would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we praise you for this beautiful day to worship. We praise you for bringing us into your presence today to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we praise you for your servant Abraham and for his obedience and for his faithfulness. I pray that as you speak to us through the words Moses recorded of Abraham's call, that as always the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. By the way, as you pray this week, please be in prayer for our normal pianist, Marcia Harrow. She's currently out with the fever today. As I tell the session quite frequently, whenever I have to do fill-in work, I am heartily in favor of increasing her salary. what it comes down to is I don't mind being on the piano bench every once in a while, but I really appreciate Marcia and her contributions to our congregational worship. Praise God for not only for her, but also for the musicians in the choir who so faithfully serve week in and week out to enrich our worship. And if you'll go in your Bibles today to the 12th chapter of Genesis, we're going to go back a few millennia, literally. And we're going to read about a guy who was called of God to leave everything that he knew and to go into a place that he didn't know and go into circumstances he never imagined himself experiencing. It turns out that yes, God can and will call you from a place of comfort to a place where of challenge in your life. Because as we read the first three verses of the 12th chapter of Genesis, we find these words. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's take a trip. Have you noticed just how many great adventures begin with those words? Now, it won't really surprise those of you who know me that, yes, when I first started thinking about adventures, the first thing I think about is Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, but we're not going to go there today. I'm going on an adventure, the baggins say, and away they go on an adventure. And some of those adventures that we take in life and we read about in history and in fiction often change the person that goes on the adventure. You go to new places you've never seen, you meet new people you would never have met, and every one of those experiences changes you in some way or other. But the thing is, let's face it, most of us, when we leave home for an adventure, really expect that we'll come back. I mean, even our resident traveler who found himself on the ship with the coronavirus who left Hong Kong and thought he was heading to Shanghai and wound up in Phnom Penh instead, told me yesterday that he really appreciates Greensboro in a totally new light. But sometimes we read in history and in scripture about people that God tells to leave and they never do go back. They never do see where they were before. But yet, when they follow the call of God, they find that God enriches them in their lives and blesses them beyond anything that they could have imagined. And today we read about one of those calls, because God called a man named Abram to up and leave the greatest city-state on the planet at that time. It turns out that, yes, Abram really did live, and we really can date him, so this is not a myth we're talking about here. We're not talking about legend. Now, one thing I do need to point out. At this time, his name is Abram. Most people know him better as Abraham because his name changed later on. But at the time that God called him. His name was still Abram, so that's how I'm going to refer to him today. But when you start looking at what God can do through someone who's obedient, it will amaze you at who all he can bless. So let's go ahead and go back a little bit. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the third millennium BC, to a city called Ur, over on close to the Persian Gulf. Ur at that time, like I said, was the greatest city-state on the planet because it was in its last golden age. And they had stuff that some of us think, oh, they wouldn't have had that back then. Ur had indoor plumbing, paved roads, and other stuff that we called modern, including street lights, and they had all this other stuff. So really, Ur is the New York City of its day. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And life is fine. Abram's doing a great job. He's doing really well. He has the wife. Doesn't have the kids yet. That's coming a few decades later. But everything is going great for him. They are living it up in the city of the day. And then God calls Abram. 2091 BC. Yeah, it's kind of been a while. But God called him and said, go from your country. In other words, get up and go. And the best way to describe this is for those of us who remember Green Acres. Yeah. New York is where I'd rather stay. No, darling, I love you, but give me Fifth Avenue. That's what Abram's leaving, and he's having to take off. And you will notice God just tells him, I will show you where you're going. So Abram doesn't even know where he's going. Can you imagine hitting the road and just driving until God says stop? Well, it turns out that's exactly what happens here. So Abram gets up out of Ur, and he takes off. He doesn't know where he's going. He just knows that God's going to take him somewhere. He makes a stop up off in northern Mesopotamia to kind of see the kids, see the nephews and nieces and everybody for one last time. And then he packs up the wife and takes her south. Takes a nephew with him, and down they go. And when you start looking at this, you start wondering, how in the world can he do this? But you notice that God doesn't just tell him to get up and go. God tells him, I'm making promises to you. God makes promises to Abram when the obedience comes. Because what Abram says is, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So he's going to make of Abram a great nation. Abram, of course, probably shows more faith in believing this promise than he does in any other promise, because at this time, Abram and Sarah have no kids. Oh, by the way, we are told that Abram is now 75 and Sarah is 65. I kind of have to point out that these folks in biblical times lived a little bit longer, so Sarah, by the way, is just now coming up on middle age. She's not quite there yet. Abram is only about 10 years older than she is, so no kids yet. And it turns out that God says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Well, how? No kids. Doesn't matter. God, it speaks, Abram believes, and away they go. And God promised that he would make Abram's name great. Well, it turns out Abram already had a great name. His name, Abram means from the father. And by the way, his father, Terah, was something of a prince among his people anyway. And Abram could trace his ancestry back to the godly son of Noah, the son named Shem. So he already had a great name. But God's now promising that he is going to make Abram the greatest of all of that line. And then he says, you will be a blessing. Now, we may read that in English and say, well, it means that, okay, so people are going to see us as a blessing. Actually, you go back, this is a command. God is telling Abram, you're going to bless people. It is your responsibility to bless people. And when you go later on in the book of Genesis, you start to see something happening. Because what's going on here is that God is sending Abram to a pagan area. Not as if he didn't come from a pagan place, because he did. Ur, by the way, was no big-time pagan, polytheistic, and all this other stuff. But Canaan sure enough is. We know some of the practices that the Canaanites used in their worship. And trust me, folks, we are not going to adopt any of them here. Okay? Not happening. And that's where God is sending Abram. And Abram will begin to bless these people. He will begin to bless them in a way, hey, some of them are going to be willing to sign up with him, to ally with him, and to work with him. As a matter of fact, you read on a little bit later on, and Abram, of all things, he didn't think when he was in Ur that he'd wind up having to lead an army one of these days, but he does. And a lot of his Canaanite neighbors go in with him to go fight. They know that God is with Abram. And if God is with Abram, then they're not worried about the gods of the other folks they fight. Go read Genesis chapter 14, and boy, do you see a beat down put down on somebody by a guy named Abram. And what God does is he blesses the people who stays with Abram. He blesses the people who ally with him. And it's a good thing that he does, because God also says, I will bless those who bless you, and if somebody dishonors you, I will curse them. And here's what's going on here. God is saying, I am looking on Abram. Okay, let's go ahead and put this in human terms. I'm looking on Abram. The people who stay with Abram are in my face, and I will bless them. The people out here who are fighting him, they are outside the will of God. They are outside the blessing of God, and therefore they will receive a curse. And sure enough, you read the rest of the book, and you start to see how all these kings oppose Abram. You start to see how these kings try to take his wife. Okay, let me go ahead and put it this way, okay? Anybody seen a picture of Christy Brinkley lately? You know who Christy Brinkley is? Hey, the guys of my generation, we know who Christy Brinkley is. Let me tell you, she doesn't look much different now in her 60s as she did back in her late 20s. And you kind of wonder, wow, how, okay, whatever. Okay, hours in the gym and facelifts and all this other stuff. No, just the way it goes if you're rich enough. So Sarah doesn't need all that. She is still a beautiful woman. And almost every time Abram meets the king says, hey, beautiful woman, tries to take her from Abram. And they always find themselves in a whole heap of trouble when that happens, plagues and all this other stuff. And sure enough, you have these people who try to oppose Abram in some way, and the next thing you know, bad things start happening. Because as long as Abram lives faithfully according to God's promise, God is going to fulfill his protection of Abram. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. And then God makes one last promise. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And Abram could really wonder how. You see, Abram could trace his line back. And sure enough, he knew that he came from the godly son of Noah, but he also knew what happened before Noah. Abram knew the story of the garden. Abram knew what Adam and Eve had done. He knew about all of these other things you start to read about in the Old Testament. And what it comes down to is God didn't give Abram any details. He gave him only a promise that his obedience would lead to blessings for humanity. And sure enough, Abram obeyed. Pack up the wife. Pack up all this stuff. You know, and once again, they're living in a city. And by the way, they're going camping for a very long time. Sarah, bless her heart, will never again live in a house. She will spend the rest of her life living in a tent. Now, y'all, Angie and I kind of like taking off on adventures and stuff like this, but here's the thing. I'm an old Boy Scout. It wouldn't bother me to spend some time in a tent every once in a while. Angie is not Boy Scout material. As a matter of fact, she and I have already agreed. Her idea of roughing it is staying in a hotel without free Wi-Fi. I mean, If she doesn't have Wi-Fi, it is too tough for her. We got to go on down the road to the next hotel. Simple as that. Now, you think about Sarah, who has had all of these servants and all this stuff taken care of her all this time. She's got a nice place to live. And next thing you know, Abram's telling her, well, honey, I love you. Guys, you all know how this conversation goes, right? But, and sure enough, Sarah finds herself living in a tent for the rest of her life. But here's the great thing about it. God did bless him. You could go to Israel today, and you can see all of these places that Abram visited. As a matter of fact, there's a mountain over there, and you can see it is the mountain that tradition says is where God made the great promise to Abram that you find in Genesis 15. And what it comes down to is Abram's call reminded them that God still cared about humanity. Yes, humanity had gone off into sin and depravity, but God still cared. And there are people today who look at society and say, oh gosh, it's so awful. It's never been this bad before. They wail. And I want to say, oh yes, it has been this bad before. And if you go back in history, it has been a whole lot worse. Don't even get me started. But the thing is, God still cares. God has not stopped caring about humanity. And if you want proof of that, let's follow Abraham's line from about the time of 2091 B.C. Let's go forward a couple of thousand years, and let's stop off in a little town called Nazareth that barely is big enough to qualify for a map, and let's go to a well there in Nazareth. By the way, you can visit today, and the well is still there. It turns out this Jewish teenage girl is there, and she gets visited by an angel. And that angel tells her, fear not. For behold, you will bear a son. And that teenage girl says, Be it to me according to thy word. Mary accepts the great adventure of serving as the mother of our Lord. And God proves anew that he still cares. And Jesus' journey started in Bethlehem. It ended in Jerusalem with him hanging on a cross for the sins of the world, for my sins, for our sins. And it is on the cross that God dealt with the sin of humanity. He dealt with the sin of the people of Abram's time. He dealt with the sin of the people of Jesus' time. He has dealt with the sin of the people of our time. And the main thing people need to know today is that their sins are dealt with. Jesus didn't just paper them over. He dealt with them. And for everyone now who will believe in him, they receive that forgiveness of sins, and they receive that adoption into the family of God. And then begins the great adventure. You see, I kind of get the feeling that one of the problems we have in the church today, I've been doing a little reading about some of this stuff. If you have people who think the church is all about me, what will make me comfortable in the church? And I will go looking for a church that makes me comfortable. I want to hear the preacher talk about what makes me happy and what will help me. I want to make sure that the music is music that I like. I want to make sure that I want to have a comfortable chair. I want to make sure the AC is working and the music is professionally done and all this other stuff. And people, it is not about us. If God can call a man named Abram from the most sophisticated city on the planet and put him in Canaan, well, friend, he can call us from First Presbyterian Greensboro, and he can put us out in the middle of the muck of the world for us to serve the world and for us to bless the world with the gospel of Christ. And what it comes down to is in Genesis 12, God tells Abram, go. And in Matthew 28, Jesus tells the believers in Christ to go. We are to go into all nations, teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are told, just as Abram was told, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. There is not a part of Greensboro that we should not saturate with the gospel. There is not a person in Greensboro who lives outside the love of God. And when we carry the gospel in our lives, yes, we read a little bit earlier in the scripture reading about how God has chosen us from before the foundations of the world. Well, folks, He didn't just choose you. As you've heard me say before, we are not saved to sit and wait until we see the pearly gates. He chose us to saturate this community with the gospel of Christ. He chose us to reach other people. There are other people in this community that the Holy Spirit's preparing. And it's our responsibility for people in the community to hear the gospel, that the Holy Spirit may begin generating hearts. Okay? Abram heard go, and he obeyed. And in case you think it's easy, go ahead this afternoon and read the rest of Genesis and see that, boy, did he go through it. He went through it big time. And at the end, he was still proud and happy that he did. Christian, we really have been called to a great adventure because our God made promises. And when God keeps those promises through us, He shows once again that through Jesus, all the nations in the world will be blessed. So yes, the Holy Spirit's still calling people. You may think, well, He won't call me from Greensboro, Alabama. I'd remind you that a couple of years ago, there was a family very happily living in Northport, Alabama. And next thing you know, we kind of sort of get a go. And next thing we know, we're up and living in Greensboro, Alabama. It can go the other way. And all I can say is, if God calls you to go into a neighborhood, calls you to go into a store to witness, calls you to love the person on the job or the person in school or whoever, or the person in your family, if God calls you to go, oh, please obey. Because I can tell you right now, you will embark on a great adventure. And that adventure will take you into a glorious eternity where we will spend all of eternity in the presence of our Maker, our Defender, our Redeemer, and our Friend. So today I stand before you and I call this church. God is calling us to a great adventure to minister to this community. My admonition to you and my encouragement to you is to go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.